actually supposed to run the tech net tonight. I completely forgot about it. 5 minutes after 9, right?
Yeah, you're bad. Oh, back to you. I'm sitting here with Ron.
Borden usually does it. I usually don't. And I just, he called me the other day and except, of course, it was Weight Watchers and shopping, and I got started to make dinner, and I said, oh my gosh, it's 9 o'clock, I got to run the tech nut. Is there anybody out there besides you two?
KF2ID, Ben.
Then I should take roll call. We'll start with KF2ID.
2AMR, Tony.
I got Tony, I got Ben, who else?
W2JEK, Don.
Okay, got Don. Next, Ron, I think you said.
Yes, Ron is here. KC2TP.
Well, somebody's with you, Ron?
Dewey is with me over here. We're working the same mic.
That's allowed. That's allowed. What's Stu's call? I forgot it.
Kilo Charlie 2, Sierra, Quebec, Papa.
Hey, we got Ben, Tony, Don, Ron, Sue. Anybody else?
WG2Y.
You can bring up the software-defined radio, I hope, because I know nothing about it. Anybody else?
Kate.
I should hope not. I have no questions either. Anybody else?
KA2BDU. No question at this time.
Helmet, anybody else? Okay, I got Ben, Tony, John, Ron, Stu, Helmet, anybody else? Okay, for anybody who's got a gas heater in your home, gas home, gas hot water heater. My house, I got the gas furnace, gas hot water heater, gas dryer, and gas stove in the kitchen. So we've been erring on the side of caution. The hardwired carbon monoxide detector. Have one that we got about 7 years ago that sits in the bedroom. It actually reads out the parts per million and everything. They have a combination of smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector. When you push the test button, first it screams, carbon dioxide evacuate, and then it starts screaming fire, 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 as well as doing the beeps and stuff. Pretty neat. Well, the one that we had, the Kitty Nighthawk, went away. After the 7 years programmed life was up, it self-destructed. It started beeping every 30 seconds. And you can buy them relatively cheap. I bought the same exact model with dead batteries, because it's been sitting in somebody's stock room. Since the timer doesn't start until the package is unsealed with batteries in for the 7 years, I think it should be all right. $26. If you guys ever have any of the gas appliances, you might consider it. It's a cheap investment on your life. Remember the doctor that had a carbon monoxide detector last year? It went off, so he took the batteries out because it was annoying him. He went to work. When he came back home, I believe his wife, his mother, his two daughters, and somebody else was all dead. It's awful. Anyway, think about it. Now, Bruce, I think I'm going to jump directly to you because you were going to have a question about software-defined radios. Bruce, WG2Y, this is KGBR.
K2BAR, WG2Y. No, well, I'm not really going to have any questions. I'm just going to continue to tout it, and maybe I'm not really that well versed in it. I hope to learn about it as I do it, but for those of you who are maybe new to it or are wondering what it is, you probably have seen in QST magazine the ads for the Flex radios, and you can see the price tags of them are like from $1,000 and on up, and if this today's economy, it may seem like a major undertaking or something you'd be hesitant to do. However, what the software-defined radio really is it turns your sound card on your computer into a digital signal processor that takes the raw, I guess, audio or data from the receiver and turns it into something that you can make sense of on your screen, giving audio, digital modes, and whatnot. But don't despair. You can get yourself a software-defined receiver kit, I repeat, kit, for about $10, $15. Or I'm going to be getting one for the 20-meter band, and I can hook that software-defined receiver up to the IF of my Kenwood TS-440, and voila, I'll have a pan adapter for this radio for under $20. B-port, and it hooks up to your sound card. So you can conceivably take this little tiny device and your laptop, put up an antenna, go on vacation this summer, and you can be in business. Now, Barra has, let me just make sure the repeater is in timeout. Barra has a incentive. If you build it in kit night, Barra will cover half the cost of your kit, and Rachel Weiss was kind enough to make a matrix of all the resources for these kits in the Barra Bulletin. So back to net, K2BAR, WG2Y.
We timed out at the $20 mark, and we heard nothing else except the last 10 seconds. So go back to the beginning, where you said the kit about $10 and then $20. And from then on, we lost it.
Okay, the kits are like $20, like $15 to $20 for a receiver. It's about $50 for a transceiver with all sorts of features and options that some of which are not necessary. But what it boils down to is you can take your laptop, plug this little thing into your USB port and your sound card, go on vacation and be in business. So back to net, K2BAR, WG2Y.
One other thing that I thought was really, really interesting, your bandwidth that you can see is completely dependent on the quality of your sound card. A normal sound card, I believe, somewhere in the 48K region, would give you a sprint on your device, the way you're looking at it, about 48K. If you used to buy a higher quality sound card, I believe 96 are common, I'm not even sure if there's ones that are wider bandwidth, and you get a much greater display. You can see plus or minus your signal that much. Let's see, is there anybody else that has any comments on software-defined radios?
F2ID.
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, in all fairness, what you see for $1,000 in QSD includes a transmitter, a 100-watt transmitter, I believe. It's not just the receiver end. I think you should point that out. I personally had no personal acquaintance with it, but there's no question that the software-defined radio is the way to go, and the quality of the sound card is important if you want to get the optimum performance. It'll work fine with not the greatest sound card in the world, but it does better with a better sound card. And also, I think, should be mentioned that the software itself is free, and it's constantly updated. I don't know how much capability the software has, but it's being constantly updated. I don't know if Bruce mentioned it or not, because he was cut out there part of the time. Bruce mentioned that he was connecting it to the IF of his 440. I guess that gives him the advantage of being able to use it as a transmitter or receiver. But you can put the software-defined radio directly on the antenna, and that's probably where you get the maximum performance, that is the highest, the most signal level sensitivity, because front end has now become the software-defined radio front end rather than the 40 front end. as I understand it anyway, so correct me a little bit on that. I might be open to correction on that one. It's a wonderful idea. Basically, the receiver is what I call a DC, a single IF receiver. It's a receiver that has an IF out at, I believe, 48 kilohertz. I don't know. I might be wrong. Maybe it's 24. Maybe it's half of that. It usually, in order to get the image problems, you don't use on an IF that low because you have an image problem. But there was a way of getting around it by combining the two signals, one at 0 degrees and the other at 90 degrees from inviting. And there's some mathematics go with it. But it ends up that you can get rid of it, the image problem. And so you've got a great little device, which wonders. With that, I'll turn it back to that KF2ID.
I like the idea, but I'm going to hold off, wait till everybody else builds them, get my experience from their experience. Meanwhile, I got a couple projects of my own, one of them being the station monitor that I'm in the process of working on. And after that, then I can start some other projects. I have too many projects in the works. I myself are going to hold off for a while. Anybody else want to talk about anything? Any questions? Any comments? Anything?
Yeah, I do want to talk about one thing, something very basic on the analog to digital conversion that the TV stations are going to do. First, I know there's a move on in Congress to postpone it because they evidently run out of money to print any more of these free coupons for converters. So I don't know if anybody knows how far that the movement got to postpone the date. The other thing is, and this is your benefit, Ron, I believe that when they convert from analog to digital, they are going to change the frequencies. That is, you won't have the same channels. It will be a whole new set of channels. And the existing channels are going to be up to grabs. So I did not get to listen to that lecture, and I wasn't overly concerned about it because I have cable, and I understand when you have cable, you don't have to worry about it. So, but anyways, for anybody who does wish to maintain their present antenna and television and use one of these converter boxes, am I not right that it will be a different set of frequencies? This is and I guess the converter box will convert it back to the normal, television frequencies can receive. So I guess that's the function of the converter box, now that I think of it. But in any case, that's true, isn't it? Yeah, it's KF2ID with K2BAR.
I believe they're using the existing television channels and go on in between a little bit there, my understanding of the, channel 5A and B or whatever it are. I really didn't look at it that much. So we'll have to ask anybody else if you have any comments. After I bought my converter box, I did find out one thing. There are websites that you can go to. Websites will give you directions to aim your antenna. And I found out that almost all of my stations that I'm interested in, except for channel 50, are all within 2 degrees of each other. So if I put out an outside antenna up there, or even a halfway decent antenna, I should be able to get them all in one big swoop. The 50 and something else, I believe, is a different direction by about 135 degrees, different direction. So luckily I have two outside antennas, and I was going to use another one for channel 50, or at least the front end of it. That was the question that I haven't figured out yet. Anyways, anything else? Anybody else? ahead, Tony.
Just to give a short dissertation on the fact that we're running a VHF contest this weekend. Is that part of the TechNet?
It is now. Gordon's not here.
Then with your approval, may I point out again that this weekend is a VHF contest weekend. We will be operating a station from River Edge at 280 North Drive at K2AMI's location, but it'll be called K2BAR. We've done this before, and we've done not well, but reasonable for the winter months. We will have a few operators here that'll participate. Most of the slots have been filled already for our night, for our operation over the weekend. And I did send out an email. Unfortunately, I have an old email list that isn't as current as anything past June last year, unless there's some changes made. And a message that indicates the frequency and the call and the exchanges to be used. And Barrow will be operating, and it'd be nice if you would look at the list and try to find us on the frequencies. It's a club contest, and you also could participate in the VHF contest on the equipment that you've got, and you can add your score to the Barrow score as a member of the Bergen ARA. Our club call for the ARL is called Bergen ARA. So, join us and have some fun, and at least know that you're using frequencies that you really may need someday. All right, let me turn it back to Ned with any comments or questions. Tony to Noel, put the frying pan down.
Now in the old days, they used to be rock bound. The newer kids shift to 48K. So it's no big deal. You just move it a little bit.
JF2ID.
Go ahead, Ben.
I think there's a little misperception here. You're talking about the bandwidth. That's what's not... Yeah, that's true, but that's not the point. The real point is that the resolution is higher. That is, the number of bits that the... You know, there's an analog-to-digital conversion, and the digital is a number, and a number, you know, a number of ones and zeros. And you want to increase those number of bits, and the better sound cards have a higher number of bits. What that means is that you can discriminate slower signals, smaller signals. When the signal is very low, if the signal is below the resolution of one bit, then you don't know it's there. In other words, another way of saying it is increases the dynamic range. So these better sound cards have a higher number of bits, and that increases the dynamic range. Of course, they also increase the bandwidth, and that, of course, is helpful. It's KF2ID.
WG2R, the comment?
Go ahead, Bruce.
You're going from working with an analog to digital converter, digital to analog converter or vice versa. The resolution also means how many times that analog signal is sampled over a specific time period. So that goes right back to what Ben said about resolution.
But I think in the end, it makes no difference for somebody just starting out. You can do fine with a regular sound card. In fact, a lot of people are using their older computers and just doing it that way.
Absolutely right, Noel, but just understand my motives on this kit drive is to get somebody to build a kit that's simple and expensive, and also it's a gateway into what I think is going to be something really big in amateur radio, and you can just play with it, try it out, and not invest an arm and a leg for it.
No, I don't think so. I'm saying go cheap, use an old computer. In fact, a lot of people are dedicating just an old, not a 386, but, you know, the low model Pentium. Should have no problem with that. Okay, anybody else got any comments? Anything? Before we close the net, and I go finish making dinner for my SYR.
KA2BDU, I have a question.
Go ahead, Helmut.
What is the emergency or a emergency frequency on ham radio, which I wanted to report if I have a ham radio or, let's say, a 2-meter radio with me?
Well, besides the repeaters, 146.535 in this particular area is used by RACIs, but normally the RACI stations in an emergency are only allowed to talk to other RACI stations. You can monitor it, listen, but they have to ignore you if you call them.
No.
Go ahead, David.
Helmet, 146.52 is just the national simplex frequency, I think. So sometimes when I'm in the car, I just put it on the monitor, but you probably got a good shot at somebody being on there if you're not in an area where you're hitting a repeater or you know the frequency of a repeater. If you wanted to be able to call out for help, I think is what you're kind of asking. So if you're on a 2-meter radio and you need help, where would you go? I would start, if you don't have any local repeaters plugged in, is to go to 146.52.
W2JEK.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there is a protocol on 146.52 for people who are out hiking in the mountains, that you, certain times of the day, you listen to the, that you turn your 2-meter handy talkie on, and it's like a, not only just that you're on that particular frequency, but you're on that frequency at a particular time. They have a time protocol for people who are having problems when they're out hiking on the trails like the Appalachian Trail and whatnot, and I don't know just where that is, but there are protocols like that, for people like that. But think about it, the calling frequency, the 146.52, is the protector. You're not supposed to use it for contests and things like that. It's used as a means of communication when the repeaters are not around. And there are other simplex frequencies as well that use it. That's the national calling frequency. Back to net, 72JK.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments, questions, anything? Before we end it, go. Anybody else? Speak now. Oh well, we missed Gordon. We'll tell him that we missed him. Zentoyo, saying the technics closed and we're returning the repeater to normal operation. Have a good evening, everybody.